the conversation this morning on those two platforms. Let's start this morning with the Punch newspaper, page 2. PDP crisis, BOT convenes emergency meeting to rescue Atiku's campaign.
Well, I mean, this is just really to just give you the development that's going on in the PDP. There's nothing new. Meetings are going on. They're trying to, you know, Wike is adamant, and his group. His group is expanding, though, and that's worrisome for the Atiku campaign. So invariably, they're now, you know, the BOT have met Atiku, trying to see. Wike and his group are adamant that IU must step down. Now, you can't even put a gun to the man's head to step down unless he desires. There's constitutional ways in which he should do that. Of course, the other issue is that if he then does resign, who do you choose that will be acceptable to all? You know, in politics, every little thing matters. So that's what the PDP have so far. And it's kind of brought a lull. The APC situation is not any better. There's still a lot of internal wrangling. And it has made the whole takeoff an anticlimax. So what you have is just walks and walks and walks and walks. But the real campaign and so on and so forth has been virtually, the takeoff has been stalled for a while. And I also think that that's because there's a lot of time between this time around, between takeoff and the elections. You can do all what you like here between now and February. Okay, so also it also helps them so they don't burn themselves out. But sit back and watch. It's none of our business. These are really party issues. Hopefully by the end of October, they should have definitely straightened everything out of the two major parties. The third major party, there's very little known about the party. So what happens? The candidates is dropping statements here and there, but there's very little known about the party itself. You know, for example, in the PDP, you talk of this man and that man, you talk of the chairman, you talk of Wike, you talk of in the APC, you talk of Tinubu, you talk of the president, so many. But in the Labour Party, the concentration of the party is minimal. Everything seems to be, it's like a one-man movement. Everything seems to be on the candidate. So this is just like an update, really. Stories like this you'll be getting on a daily basis.
Indeed. Now let's move away. Let's go pick up the Guardian newspaper. This story broke yesterday, and it's everywhere. Page 8 of the Guardian. NDLEA arrests a billionaire drug baron in VGC Lagos. The Punch has similar story. No hiding place as Marwa unleashes crack officials on billionaire drug barons.
This is my man of the year. You know, our newspapers, I hope, you know, I honestly don't know, you know, what newspapers think, media houses think in choosing their man of the year. But if there's anybody who is the man of the year, it's Buba Marwa. I mean, the NDLEA they've been on fire. So what have they done? They've arrested another drug baron in VGC. Remember the other guy too that had the lab was in VGC. I suspect that there's a tendency for people who might have questions to answer. That's a polite word we use for them, to be finding their way into elite estates so that they, you know, they might feel safe in such places. But Barra is determined to sniff them out. This time around, he got 8.8 billion naira worth of tramadol. Look at the picture. Look at cartons.
I see the cartons.
Look at the picture. Cartons there. The NDLEA spokesman, Femi Babafemi, in a statement said that the arrest of Ugochukwu, he was taken from Ugochukwu, he says, he's the chairman of Automation Motors Limited. Really? Followed credible intelligence, after which NDLEA operatives on Friday stormed his house in VGC. The search produced 443 cartons. This is a wholesaler, importer. This is a container. How did this thing come through our port?
Beats me.
443 cartons of tramadol hydrochloride, which contains 13 13 million pills. Wow. No. 13, 4, 5, 1, 4, 6, 6. Is that 13,000? No. It's 13 million pills of the drug, while some cartons were already burnt in a fire incident in the house the same day. Before his arrest, Chuka Dibia, who hails from Anambra State, had been on the agency's watch list as one of those behind the Tramadol drug cartel in Nigeria. Also know that he had a motor company. But that's how it usually works. I know he's not guilty, though, but usually you'd find that there's some legit cover that goes on. But you see, according to NDLEA investigations, they said he has about six mansions within VGC, one of which he uses to warehouse the Tramadol consignment.
Okay.
While he lives in one at plot Z130 Road 67, and another as his office. Five exotic vehicles were also being located in two of his mansions, out of which two SUVs included a bulletproof Jeep, which has been successfully removed to the agency's facility.
For those watching online, I'm sure that they can see the cartons while you're showing it.
Yeah, that's
I mean, it's scary. It's scary.
Well, if what he has, if what this hall has, is 13 million pills,
yeah,
you can jolly well imagine.
What if this is just one of the many of stash houses,
that
he has?
Well, this gentleman is moving on. I think he's actually targeting the big boys. Okay, he's targeting the big boys, and this has also led some have fled town. Okay, some have maybe one or two would have bitten the bullet. You get me?
Yeah.
Because this is big money, big money. The Punt has a good front page story about Marwa. It says, "No hiding place as Marwa unleashes crack officials on billionaire drug barons," and it says that the retired military officer, that's Marwa, not only transformed the NDLEA from a sheep to a ferocious lion, he has also sent many untouchable narcotics dealers into early retirement in prison. And it says between January 2021 and August 2022, the NDA seized no fewer than, listen to this, 286 assets, 600 bank accounts belonging to drug barons. The assets include 249 exotic cars and 37 luxury mansions. What do they do with these cars? What happens to them? These mansions and things?
Insurance.
Insurance how?
Yeah, for insurance. Should they need intervention?
No, I mean, when do they use the cars?
Okay, you mean the agency?
The agency, yes.
Oh, I don't know. I really don't know. I don't know.
So, and
the same thing for EFCC, you know, the same for ICPC, when they confiscate these properties.
I wish we would take is that the band of Dwede?
Who is that?
Dwede. The president of, I've forgotten the country now. I keep forgetting.
Oh, Duterte.
Duterte,
Philippines, yeah.
He crushed all of them in their presence.
Because I was going to say this before, I was going to wait for you to land, that arresting these guys is not the end of the operation.
No.
Some of them have structures in place. Whether they are there or not, even if they are in prison, the operations go on. That's why I said earlier that this may just be one of the stash houses that the guy has. It doesn't stop his operation.
Well, of course, when he's arrested, he won't be arrested alone, though.
It still doesn't matter.
It's just
these guys operate from anywhere.
Even from prison.
Yes, if you like, handcuff them to the bottom of the ocean.
So what should we do? We should shoot them?
You're not going to ask me that one.
If you say the calopris. Because. Well, the story here says that the agency recorded 619 illegal drug funds feature. And it says that assets and financial investigation, so illicit drug funds are investigated and seized, include some sums of money. And that its drug supply efforts recorded the arrest of, listen to this, the arrest of 18,940 suspect drug traffickers. In which prison did they put all these?
18,000.
Comprising 17,444 males and 1,496 females, and including 12 barons from January 2021 to July 2022, and that conviction of 2,904 offenders in real terms in court, seizure of 3.6 million kilograms of narcotic and psychotropic substances, cannabis farm destruction, 691 hectares of cannabis plantation, 691, imagine, hemp farm. This guy, your Aburo, Showore, he says if he becomes president, he will legalize.
Yeah, he said so. Well, maybe that's not what he said.
No, but he said, no, he said for medical.
Yeah, for medical.
But I mean, hey, listen. Once you legalize, it. It means
and maybe there's also an amount that you can be found on you legally.
Okay, so you want to use it for medical and whatever purposes. Okay, yeah. So what happens? You are allowed to grow it in your farm. Okay, now I'll have you know that the wet, if you just take from, you pluck it, you wrap it, and you set fire on it, that wet one is even 10 times worse than the dry ones.
The dry ones.
So the best thing to do is not to let
Don't legalize it. But I think we should debate it. I think it's because, I mean, if you speak to people who know about herbs very well, especially marijuana, they will tell you that there are so many benefits.
It will spiral out of control.
Well, that's left to, I mean, those that are not even marijuana are out of control. So that's not the fault of marijuana.
No, I'm not saying the fault of marijuana. So this is the way I think. If you want to plant it for whatever it is, then you must allow people to smoke it. Once you allow planting, then they are not going to be raiding any hemp.
So can we say that let's ban Tramadol, for instance? Let's ban it.
I think it's not banned.
I don't think so. Because there's an original use for it.
Oh yes.
People just abuse it.
If there's an original use for it, why would they be arresting a man who has 13 million? He's bought a lifetime supply.
This one is Guiloje. What is he suffering from?
No, it's for his village. The thing, when Dokun Adeleji was here, these things we are doing are just to fulfill righteousness. There's so many things that are putting people on a high.
I'm sorry to butt in. Yes. People have just corrected me now that Tramadol has been banned.
I thought so.
Only licensed. What's this now? The person who says Tramadol is banned, only licensed persons can sell it. Is that banned?
That's not banned. But I didn't want to ask you with you. So that's my. I ask you.
Yeah, so I don't know where we stand now on Tramadol, because I know, to the best of my knowledge,
when Doxy came, what's the name of this guy that played with KG Hamilton? When I interviewed KG Hamilton, because he too does this work of trying to even sniff soak away. Are you going to
sniff anything?
Are you going to ban soak away? If there are some armpits that you smell in Danfo, if you sniff them, you get
high.
Not the armpits.
Oh my gosh.
Or some people's toes. There are some shoes if you sniff them.
Oh, fair high in here. Oh my God.
High as a guy.
Oh boy. So, but the problem of drug addiction and drug abuse is real and is huge.
Yes.
Especially the last time you had Doxy here, and the things that he said, my word, he blew my mind.
The truth is, we have so many addictions to contend with. The sex addiction. I have an addiction, and that's a gadget addiction, and I'm working hard on it. It's a destructive addiction.
Yeah.
You know, I find myself, I can't sit for 2 seconds without having a gadget. Either I'm on my computer, or I'm on my phone, or you know. In fact, it was just last night. When I say last night, I mean something like 2 a.m. That I was saying to myself, "Omo, put this thing down." You know, you always. I don't know whether it's. I make my job the excuse, but I don't think it's right. So there are too many addictions out there, and I think that, of course, I've been told that you can get professional help for these things. If you do have, a lot of us have one addiction or the other. None is healthy. None. Because what
it
means...
addiction, it's an addiction.
An addiction means that something else is controlling a part of your life. Mm. I don't know whether to throw my phone. If anybody wants an iPhone 13, I'm ready to give it up. With the FMO, I just use a Palasa phone. So if I would need to go to the whatever, I'll go to the computer. I have to put it on and put it and whatever. So I have an iPhone 13 to throw away.
Excuse me, is that Pro a joke? Max. Is that a joke?
It's not a joke. It starts from there.
Okay, I thought that you were saying that you want to
throw it.
I thought you say you actually want to throw it away.
No, I want to give it out. I'll let him go. Let
oh, yeah, bring it now.
I knew. You fell for it. I just... because I see you've
been... What do you want to say now? Ah, you want to throw you, iPhone 13 Pro
since
Max
I got
away.
That phone last year, you've been...
I've been eyeing it now.
You've been eyeing it.
What?
So you fell for
it. Bring it. Let me help you keep it. When you change your mind, I'll return it.
It will look Palasa phone. How will I treat? By the way, yesterday was war. On
yeah, I saw it, right?
Yes. It was big fun.
Yeah.
You know.
I knew you were just enjoying yourself.
Apologies to my siblings who are so worried. And they don't understand that it's all part of the job. Watching Bunyo, they're abusing you. We just start. You see, the truth is this. There's a difference between me on the program and then my private life.
That's it.
And I have a mission in my private life to make sure that this country doesn't go astray. And I have no apologies for it. If it's the last thing that I will do before I enter, well, I won't be buried here. Mm. It was a friend of mine that said, Iletima wasunni. Well, Yaba.
Yeah, people say that.
It was Yaba bus stop area. And Aboka, my friend, at Adibli, said, Iletima wasunni. When you call me, you won't be buried here now. But if it's the last thing that I do, I do not hate anybody. Stop using that word hate. Mm. Using that word hate itself shows that you are hating.
Ah,
it's a hate word.
Too heavy.
But we will contribute and make sure that this country doesn't go to the dogs. If it then decides to go to the dogs, I will not be part of it. It will not be part of my contribution. Mm. And so trying to tie me to a program is a different thing. This is my 8 to 5. That one is was almost like a war zone yesterday, but I found it interesting. You know?
It was interesting.
So my siblings will chill. There's no problem. Mm. Baba Oleku.
Not at all.
By the way, sorry, very quickly, you must watch Aniku Lako.
I've seen it. I saw it the
that
day.
Movie.
I saw it the day it came out.
Oh man, oh bad. I watched it twice.
I saw it the day it came out, and I'm gonna watch it again.
It's very full.
I think Kole Afolayan. He hasn't disappointed ever since he started.
No, he hasn't.
Right from Arese, was it Arese he acted or Arapa? Either of the two characters, the male one, right from his acting days, right from the debut with Tunde Kilani's movie up until this very moment, he hasn't disappointed. Happy birthday to him, by the way. He just celebrated his birthday. Not today, I think 2 days ago or so.
Okay.
And happy birthday to him. I mean, he did, I think on the day he released that video on Netflix, he did same on in the cinemas as well.
So proud of him. He's like, what's the name of the other one that Nedu was in now? King of Boys.
King of Boys. Okay.
Nigerian movies are... You know, they're there.
Yeah.
There. Congrats. Yeah.
Okay, away from the detour, let's get back. let's go to The Guardian. There's this editorial here that says matter arising on collapsed buildings.
Well, you all know what it is on collapsed buildings. The Guardian here now has to write an editorial on it, because we've had about two or three buildings in quick succession. But this paragraph will interest you. The last LABSCA officials have visited the site, and the attitude, that's the last one that went out in Onero, and the attitude of the contractor has been that of hostility. He has been using his personal security to stop them from carrying out their lawful duty, and so on and so forth. Then The Guardian says, the home truth is that the developer cannot be bigger than the state, and its law, no matter how wealthy or influential he may be. The law should be no respecter of persons, and until that basic principle is fully imbibed by both the building public and government officials, the country will not be rid of building tragedies. If you want to read more, go to The Guardian. I just found that paragraph interesting. But they insist that the government must enforce its building regulations.
Mm-hmm. I totally agree. with that. The Punch is next. Page 8 of The Punch. FG disowns list of National Honours nominees.
Well, what we are told now is that the list making the rounds of National Honours nominees is fake. But it was the original one will contain 3/4 of which will be government officials, maybe 1/4 will be then a few friends of government and so on and so forth. I look forward to the day. If you look at the honours list in other countries like in the UK, because to get to know about that, you see musicians, you even see people who don't agree with government. We've seen people who are known to disagree with government. They give them the national honours, they reject it, but they've been honoured anyway. But here, it is distributed to only friends and associates alike. Same thing we said the other time when the piece, whatever. By the way, I hope all of you heard Mr. Demilui's view of the peace committee. It was very, very interesting. We'll upload the whatever it's called so you can get to hear it if you want to.
Indeed. 752, let's take this one here on page 4. Truck driver ties wife to well over alleged infidelity as boyfriend escapes.
You know, I deliberately put this there. Let's have some fun. Let's have a prelude to Dear Bumi tomorrow. This is in the Vanguard. And it says, enraged, this happened in Akure, enraged by the discovery of his wife's alleged infidelity, a truck driver, Muyiwa Sikiru, publicly disgraced his wife by tying her to a well, Osomo Konga, in Okearo area of Akure, Ondo State. The Vanguard says that he traveled for 3 months only to come back and discover that another man was cohabiting with his wife. I think he must have come back unexpectedly.
Kai.
Obakun in bed.
Okawani.
Okawani, man. So he says he walks out of the state but preferred to settle his wife and their 3 children in Akure. On arrival at his house, sources said his neighbor's friends who noticed that another man had moved in with his wife informed him of his wife. Esa, Arikewa and Beyo and Kinio Okunikon Belodore. So, egged by the ugly news, he dragged the wife from the room and tied her to the well outside the house. Now, why did he tie her to the well? That's why I'm even reading this. If he had fought or whatever, I'd understand. But he tied her to the well. Is this significant? You know about these things.
Excuse me?
No, I thought. I thought that I put it. This is the part that actually interested me, that he tied her to the well. He didn't throw her in the well, though. He tied her to the well. But all's well that ends well. People were able to gather around and plead with him, and he untied her from the well, and they took all of them to the police station for settlement.
I'm glad that it
but
was
why
resolved.
Did he tie her to the well?
I think that to me is violence in his own way. He shouldn't have done that. I mean, there's no significance. As far as I'm concerned, maybe he just wanted to shame her publicly. Like, look at the cheat, look at this, look at that, you know. But speaking, you know, very... Sir?
Yeah, the boyfriend who had gone to the restroom to have his bath, the boyfriend inside the house, Unlowe, he had gone to have his bath, reportedly escaped through the window. Omeho. It means the window didn't have a burglary.
Ojani.
I like the word Ojani. Through the window, where he overheard the man shouting on top of his voice. You know, the man was already there. He could have kept quiet. You tiptoe to some places. If I were the man, I would go through the window. Yes. So the man, he jackpot, and then they grabbed the woman.
I mean, I'm happy for the truck driver because he was able to not commit any crime in the process, even though...
Tying her to a well is a crime.
That's why I want to say, even though he violated the woman's right to an extent. But you know that in this crime, in this sort of issue, it could have been worse.
What could have done?
He could have attacked the guy if he had known that the guy had gone to the... He could have even hurt the woman. You know, but I'm glad that he was able to... I don't know what happened. I don't know how he was able to control, because somebody like that, it shows that he could be violent if he wants to be violent. I mean, he went to go and tie the woman to the well.
I won't say that, no. Okay, but if somebody came to tell you that he's going to go home and will likely meet his wife and there is a well, what would you advise him to do?
Not go.
not go home, not going through the window or anything.
Don't do it.
Okay. Let me.
Because crime of passion, they can be really unpredictable.
Let me confess. Initially, I was thinking that let me ask Sheriff what he would do.
No, I did not even hear that. You just said it now.
No, I'm just confessing now.
I'm just saying that I did not hear it.
So I corrected myself. Eh? My dog.
I did not even hear. But what would you have done, though?
Maybe you watch that Aliku Lagbo movie. Where am I talking to? I'm telling you.
Oh my God! But I'm honestly glad that it didn't go beyond what happened.
I just found it interesting. I saw the story. Manta's wife to well. Okay, can we do that one?
Yes, we can do this one.
In two minutes.
Yes, we can do this one. Okay. In 2 minutes. We'll just be brief
about
it. You want
me to raise or we should do the next one?
This one, have you?
It's just a story.
Okay, yeah.
Yes.
Nigeria needs leaders with capacity, character. That's Baja.
Yes. Morning, calls, in case you're listening. Eat your heart out, all of you. Is that I'm always trying to relish the idea that it's my cousin. If it's my cousin, it's my cousin.
He's your cousin.
Why do people get so jealous?
He's your cousin.
He's my cousin.
Even though I don't like it that you say it all the time.
Hey, go and bring your own cousins. He's my cousin and I'm proud of him. Even though we don't agree all the time on these things. But guess what?
What's that?
I don't remember ever meeting him.
Oh, wow.
I mean, because of the age gap.
Yeah.
I don't remember ever. I don't think I've ever met him.
Oh, wow.
No.
Now, that's surprising.
Yes. That's me.
Oh,
but he's my cousin. But his dad was my very favorite uncle. Give me sweets as a kid.
Yeah.
Okay, so Gbaja says that Nigeria needs leaders with capacity and character. You can't fault that argument. The question is, in the horizon of leadership today, how many people do we have who have capacity and character? That is the question I want you to ponder on this morning. Good morning, everybody.
All right, we have to go here. What's coming up at 9?
Angela is coming.
Oh, okay, great.
Angela, we're going to do a political review, so it's going to be very hot.
Hmm.
So all you Twitter guys, get ready, okay?
Thank you so much for coming on the show.
Okay, Sheriff.
Lagos, that's our package this morning. Jimmy will be back at 9. I'm Sheriff. Stay here. The news is next at the top of the hour here on Nigeria Info 99.3.
Stay updated with all the current news. From policies to politics, economies, local and foreign news. We keep you updated on all the happenings. Nigeria Info.
Let's talk.
We bring...
And I want to assume that you would run because I want to give the listeners context for the conversation.
In 2019, you were running mate to Atiku Abubakar. What did you learn then that you will not repeat this time?
Yes, when is the president coming out to address us?
There's a few things. One, I have a burden and a passion for young people.
The fact that you have elected a man does not mean then you begin to order him around. The president will do whatever is good for the country at any given time.
Mr. Adesina, isn't the president responsible to the people?
What should the next president do to root out stakeholders who are complicit?
You fire those that need to be fired are fired.
It's looking like a brand new Chelsea, attacking with so much fluidity. Now, what can you say about that, Martin? I know you follow Chelsea quite closely.
I live close to the Chelsea training ground. That's what you mean by that. I'm not